Dele Alli! He has got his second goal, Dele Alli. A delightful volley from Dele Alli.
That made it four. It could have been more. They had 23 attempts in total, Spurs. They restricted Stoke to just one on target in each half. Possession-wise, it was pretty level. Way more touches in the opposition area for Tottenham. It was a comprehensive win. Their goal scorers tonight were the stars again, as they have been all season. And Harry Kane and Dele Alli are with Patrick Davison.
Guys, well played, Harry. Big opportunity tonight, and you've taken it in some style. Was that not just a win? Was that a real statement from Spurs?
Yeah, definitely. What a performance by everyone. Stoke's a tough place to come, we knew that. And to win 4-0 in the manner that we did just shows what kind of team we are. And yeah, we're not going anywhere, you know. We're on the towers, we just got to keep doing what we're doing. And yeah, we can't do no more than that.
Dele, Harry says you're not going anywhere. Was the focus and determination added to a little by Leicester dropping a couple of points yesterday?
To be honest, I think we've had the same mentality all season, and we know there's only a few games to go, and it's important, and all the boys know it's important that we keep fighting till the end. You know, we're not going to stop, and it's important that we keep going the way we have all season, keep taking each game as it comes and looking to win every game.
Harry, a couple more goals for you, and as a team you created so many chances. Do you feel, as a team, right in the zone at the moment?
Yeah, definitely. Like I say, we scored four, but we probably could have scored six or seven.
Why are you laughing, Dele?
Yeah, this one takes on the keeper. Like I said, we created a lot of chances. It's probably one of our best performances all season, you know. Yeah, that's what we can do. We've just got to keep putting them in the back of the net and clean sheet as well. You can't ask for much more.
Dele, a couple of unbelievable finishes. It's fair to say it could have been a third, isn't it?
Yeah, definitely. You know, it's one of them I don't know how I've missed. You know, I've got to go do some finishing training on the training field, but... Yeah, like I say, it was a good performance by everyone today, and thankfully we got four goals.
It's your first game as a 20-year-old, but you seem to be absolutely relishing this run-in. No fear at all?
Not at all, you know. I'm just enjoying playing, and, you know, there's nothing to be scared of when I'm coming here playing with these boys each day. You know, it's good to enjoy the football, and I'm happy to be out there.
Do you think you might have planted a seed for a few of those Leicester players tonight? Just that you're not going away, like Harry said?
I think they know that we're going to keep fighting, you know. I think it's important for us that we don't focus on their results, and, you know, as hard as it's going to be, it's just important that we keep looking to each game for ourselves and concentrating on what we're doing.
And Harry, talking about hunting down Leicester, just explain that picture you put on social media last night.
No, it was just...
What was it first?
Just a few lions ready to pounce. No, it was just after watching the Leicester game, obviously... Yeah, they dropped a couple of points, so I was itching to play. I had to wait a whole day and a half to get out on the pitch. But, yeah, it was just something I wanted to put out there. It was a bit of fun. But, yeah, you never know.
That's how you feel at the moment, is it? You're itching to play. No sort of fear, as I said to Dele, about it, there being so much on these games.
No, I just want to play. Like I say, we've got another couple of Monday night games now, so we always seem to be last to play. But look, we're ready. We're fit. We want to be out there. We're enjoying our football. You see out there today, 4-0. That's what we want to keep doing.
How are you finding that, Dele, going second?
Like I said, I think it's important we don't try and concentrate on what they're doing. You know, we've still got a job to do, and there's only a few games to go. So it's important that we just keep taking each game as it comes and focus on ourselves and just looking to win every game.
Well done to both of you. It's Harry who's the Barclays man of the match tonight. Pleased about
you.
That, aren't you?
Yeah, very pleased. If he scored that goal, he probably would have got it, wouldn't
he? Yeah, yeah, it would have been a hat-trick. Well, the Lions certainly did pounce in the end, but they've got their feet from that interview clearly firmly on the ground still. But how big a message did they send out, particularly to Leicester City tonight?
Yeah, well, I think they were superb. It was a big message to Leicester that they are right behind them. And, you know, I've been impressed by the mentality of Spurs, even at 4-0. They were pressing high up the pitch. And as I said before, they know exactly what they're doing. And they've been training very, very well under Pochettino, and you can see that.
Put that in perspective. How good a performance was that from Tottenham?
I think, listening to the lads, they'll know better than us, but it must be right up there with Tottenham's best performance of the season. Considering the pressure they were under coming into the game, they had to win. Is it maybe the best away performance I've seen this season? The other one I think of is Leicester going to Manchester City, who were outstanding, but that was as good as anything I've seen. And I think the brilliant thing, I think it was a great interview by both the players, was what Harry Kane said. I've had to wait a day and a half for this game. They're itching to play. There's no sort of nerves there. Of course, they're under pressure. They had to win the game. But as soon as they've seen that Leicester result, with some people, maybe that fear, the onus is on us now to go and get that 3 points, put the pressure back on Leicester. They're itching to play. He wants to get out. He wanted to play the game, I'm sure. As soon as Leicester results finished, he wants to play for Spurs. And I think you see that in both the players, but not just those two, the whole team. And I think with this Spurs team, that's the best thing I can say, the team. Whenever I've known Spurs teams, maybe say since the mid-80s, they had a really good team then. Glenn Hoddle, Ardiles. Then you had Chris Waddle and Paul Gascoigne, Klinsmann, Gareth Bale. Superstar players. Now, I think those two are superstars. I think two fantastic players. But this Spurs team is the team. Sometimes when you pick a man of the match now for Spurs, you're thinking it could be five or six players every week you play. Everyone's playing their own role, they're solid at the back, they score goals, they're creating things. I think Eriksen was very unfortunate not to get man of the match today. He was outstanding. And that's what it is. This is a team. And I think the main person who should get most of the credit is that manager, because what he's created here is absolutely fantastic.
Okay, we'll hear from him very shortly. Graeme Souness has said this is the best Spurs team he's seen. You've played against many a Spurs side. Is there something very different about the Spurs team you're seeing here going for the title?
Well, as Jamie said, I think it was a big test, as we've been saying all night, but to really show it the way they did, with the desire, with the commitment, with the confidence they did, and, you know, playing always on the front foot, you know, because in terms of possession, it was basically 50-50, but what they did with the ball, one and the other, is completely different. They know exactly what they do when they do it, and the task the manager asked them, they finalise it fantastically.
Jamie, have a look at this, because Spurs second in the league, 5 points behind, but look what they're top off in the rankings in terms of goals scored, the best of the best attacking side in the Premier League. Look at set pieces as well. I mean, it just goes on. Defensively, the top as well.
If you're top of the league and you win the league, you're the best team. No one can take that away from you. But in terms of how Leicester are doing it, it's not the norm. It's a freak in terms of being bottom for sort of possession and different things and the top of the league. That's really the way you'd want to go about it. Or if you were top of most of those things, you'd think we've got a great chance of being towards the top of the league. And the more I watch Spurs, I think I've said a lot this season, I think I may be wrong in terms of saying this is an unbelievable chance for Spurs to win a title. This chance may not come again. The more I watch them, the more I think this chance might come again. I'm expecting Chelsea to be a lot better next season, Manchester United, Liverpool to spend, Arsenal to be spend and become better, because I think all of those sides have had probably average seasons in their eyes. And I'm expecting maybe Spurs to go back to what they were in terms of challenging for top four, maybe coming fourth. But the more I watch this team, I think in terms of years to come, this could be a team challenging for the title now for a long time.
Is the key to that, Jamie, and you've mentioned him already, that they keep their manager?
Why would he want to go when you've got...
He's going to be in demand, potentially.
Yeah, but in terms of going where...
Real Madrid, perhaps? Is Manchester United linked?
Well, I think, Real Madrid, for a player or a manager, same as Barcelona, is probably a dream for a manager or any player. But you know, it's a madhouse. If you're a manager, you're there 12 months. If you're there 2 years, you've won the lottery. You've done unbelievable. So that's what's going to happen. What he's created here and the players that he's got, the age of those players, and don't forget, he'll be looking to improve them as well in the summer. I think they've got one of the best training grounds in the country. They've got a stadium that will compete with Arsenal and Manchester United. Everything's there now for Tottenham in terms of a manager. I think in the future, if he wanted to do that, he could do that, of course he can. But I think for him now, he's got to try and win a lot of trophies with this team because they're very capable of doing it.
Let's speak to him right now, because Maurizio Pochettino is waiting to speak to us. Maurizio, congratulations to you tonight. How big a statement have your team just made in this title race?
Well, thank you very much. I think it was a great game. Very pleased with the performance for our player. They deserve full credit for this game. It was very difficult from the beginning. And I think we're still fighting. We need to stay. Our dream is to fight and put pressure on Leicester. And I think that was fantastic today, the performance and the result too.
Was it the best performance they've produced in your time as Spurs manager tonight?
Oh, I don't know. Difficult to say now. I think that we play some games, but today I feel very proud. I'm very, very pleased with the performance. It was a very tough atmosphere, and Stoke want to win the game from the beginning. I think that we show personality, character, and good quality, and I am very pleased. Maybe today is one of the performances that you feel more proud about your player, because the character to play with the pressure, to try to catch Leicester, the team that is on the top, never is easy, but I think that we today show a big character.
Character and hunger clearly as well, Maurizio. We just did an interview with Harry Kane and Dele Alli. They talked about how they were like lions waiting to pounce. What does that say about the hunger of your players?
Yes, it's true that we show hungry and passion, and we show that how we enjoy about our game, and this is fantastic to work with them every day. I feel very proud. I'm very happy. I have a squad, a player that feel the passion about the game, about the football, and I think that they deserve all the prize and full credit for the season.
And Maurizio, be honest with me, what was going through your mind when Dele Alli missed that chance and it would have been a hat-trick for him?
No, I feel a little bit ashamed, because when was the action, I go to the dugout, I say, I think I was on the fall, I fall down, no? I say, my assistant say, yes, very, I feel very bad now, no? But this is during the game, sometimes you are very excited, and you can feel that you create the chance and no score, and you no kill the game, and always it's open, and it's for that maybe, you know. You are very focused on the game and you want to score and want to win the game, and this is sometimes happen, but sorry for all, and I feel a little bit embarrassing.
No need at all. It was brilliant, Maurizio. Now you wait 6 days to see Leicester again, 7 days till we see you again on Monday Night Football. I imagine you are itching to get going again.
Yes. Again, we need to wait Leicester first, and then we play Monday again. And maybe the habit is good, because I told you before that we share with the president a good glass of wine. Maybe we need to repeat next Sunday in my house.
You enjoy a very nice glass of wine, Maurizio. Well done tonight. Thank you for speaking to us.
Thank you very much.
Joy for Spurs tonight, disappointment for Mark Hughes and Stoke. They conceded 4 at Anfield, 4 again tonight against Spurs. Mark Hughes is with Patrick Davison.
Mark, obviously a tough night. Why was it so difficult for you?
Well, you have to acknowledge the position Tottenham are in at the moment. You can understand why, because they're an outstanding team. Tonight, they were a little bit quicker to everything, a little bit more powerful. A little bit more ability in key areas of the field, and in the end we found it difficult to cope with the threats that they had, and disappointed in what we produced. Obviously we had some moments, but defensively a million miles away from where we should have been, and good teams will pick you off. It's a given in the Premier League, unfortunately.
Why are you having a spell right now where you're finding it harder to keep the back door shut?
Well, I think the early goal is hurting us at the moment, because we conceded last week an early goal almost exactly the same time in the game. We've lost an early goal again, and then you're chasing the game, and it allows Tottenham obviously just to sit in and then just pick you off and use the power and the pace that I've already mentioned, and we found it difficult to cope with that. They were very, very, very good on the break, as they have been all year, so a little bit too much for us tonight.
You've had great success against top five teams here this season, but are they a cut above anything else you've faced, or were you down on your level tonight? A bit of both, maybe.
Well, yeah, I think it's fair to say we were down on. We know nowhere near what we know we can produce on a good day. But tonight, Tottenham, just a little bit more devilment in their play, a little bit more pace and power and ability in those key areas, as I mentioned, and difficult to cope with. And we're not the only team that's found it difficult to cope with Spurs this year.
You could still have Stoke's best ever Premier League season, so is the key now picking yourselves up?
Well, we need to. We've had a poor couple of games. Obviously, defensively, we need to tighten up a hell of a lot better than we have done in the last couple of games. There's reason behind it. We know what we need to do. We'll address that and be better next time out.
Thank you, Mark. No problem.
As Mark Hughes said, he walked into an outstanding Spurs side and performance tonight. And fair to say, you loved their second goal.
I did. I mean, we've done a lot on the first goal at half time, but we highlighted something again. This is something different again. You don't normally see. I just want to show this what Spurs are doing here. There's the two centre backs, and we see that a lot in the game now. Success, we see that at Barcelona, don't we? But what you don't see is this. We normally see one central midfield player coming to the ball. That's normally Dier. But actually Dembele comes as well. And what it does is, and I think Stoke have played right into the hands, I think what they're trying to drag people out of position. And you see the Stoke situation now where you've got actually four players now completely out the game. And that's something you don't normally see, the two central midfield players, as I say. So they've dragged them out the game. And this kick goes to a fullback. I think you've seen in your time Dani Alves do that, win the header. And I think what it does is now, what it's done, I just put a line across here and take these players out the game. We spoke at half-time about stretching the pitch, making it as big as possible. What Spurs have actually done now is made that a 5v5 in three quarters of a pitch. That's what they're doing. That's why Stoke couldn't get near them at times tonight. They stretched the pitch so much. I think it's brilliant what they did there. They enticed Stoke onto them. But I think you want to speak about Eriksen, Cesc. And I'll just take it back here for you to touch.
No, what Eriksen does here is fantastic. Because
I think he's just there.
He doesn't even expect it because the ball is not meant for him. It's a rebound. And he knows, if you look just here...
Is that what you're talking about there, Cesc? He just has one look, doesn't he? That's just
he already knows.
Look.
He already knows where Ali is.
And then
after that, you just need one touch. But as well, what I like about that is Dele Alli movement. He waits, because if he doesn't make that little pause of 1 second, he would have been offside. Here, he already knows where he's going to pass the ball. And it's a fantastic pass. But Dele Alli's movement is top class.
And how good was his touch, particularly a second touch, to create the shooting?
Yeah, because the pitch normally is very wet. And if you make it a little bit strong, you know, it will be too advanced, but he did it very, very well.
He took that brilliantly, didn't he?
Yeah, brilliantly.
What did you then make of his miss that had his manager on the ground, thumping the ground?
Yeah, well, when you've seen the finish for the first goal, you wouldn't expect that, but, you know, things can happen. I'm sure they will forgive him. He had a fantastic game. And I still think he had too much time to think. This is a fantastic, fantastic ball.
Brilliant football, isn't it?
Yeah, fantastic.
He's done the hard bit here.
Yeah, he does really well here, but he has too much time, I think. You don't want to have too much time.
What a goal that would have been. You're right there, the move it was fantastic football. They're going from one end of the pitch to the other really quickly. That's the way you want the game played. It's OK keeping possession, that's fine. That's obviously part of the game, but if you've got the ability as a team to do that, play fast football from one end to the other, that just completely kills the opposition.
Have you ever had a moment like that, a miss like that, that you can remember?
Please say we've got one.
I can't think
maybe,
of one.
Maybe, I don't know, too many years at the moment to think, but maybe.
But they did kick on there from there, Spurs.
He did, again, another brilliant goal. And this, listen, I said before about the superstars Spurs have had. I think this lad's a superstar. Harry Kane gets the goal. And the thing, what I love about him is the fact that, I'm just going to stop that now. That's Harry Kane, centre of the six-yard box, wins the defensive header. You know, I think he's not quite as big as him, but you think of the job Didier Drogba did at times for Chelsea in that position, how many headers he won for the team. But that's just fantastic that he wins a header there. And this is what actually gets them the goal is he wins the header, but watch all the Spurs players clear the box. That's a defensive tactic to get out, maybe catch someone offside. Yeah. But the fact they all do that means they're all in a position, or the attacking players or the front players are in a position to counter-attack.
It's fantastic how they break. Yeah, and if you see, they are all inside their own box and they end up 3-2 in their own box. It's This is desire, this is hunger, this is what the manager said, it's passion to win. And if they keep playing like that, they have a big chance just in case Leicester slip.
And in Harry Kane, as Jamie's mentioned, we're excited about him over here. For many people, he's the first name on England's team sheet now up front. What do they think of him across Europe, in Spain and across Europe? Are they talking about him as potentially the real deal?
Yeah, he's really well considered around Europe, I feel, in Spain for sure. Everyone watches the Premier League and he's scoring goals basically every weekend. Spurs are doing very well, so, you know, everyone is expecting big things of him in the Euros.
He's now got a 2-goal lead at the top of the Golden Boot race, 2 ahead of Jamie Vardy. Roy Hodgson will enjoy looking at that with those two at the top. Jamie and Sergio Aguero putting in a late charge on 21. Kane going to win it?
I think so, and I think he's got that drive. Listen, himself and Jamie Vardy, the most important thing for them this year is to get a title medal. Of course it is. But strikers being strikers, they want to be the top scorer. I'm sure Harry Kane watching yesterday will be thinking 1-game ban, maybe 2-game ban for Jamie Vardy. That'll be in the back of his head. He then gets a couple of goals tonight as well and puts himself at the top. And no doubt he'll want to come away with the Golden Boot. And I think if it looks like Vardy's, we know he's got 1-game ban, maybe 2. It looks like he's the favourite for it.
And then after Dele Alli's miss, he goes and does this, Jamie, that has you again talking about Spurs greats.
Yeah, again, but it was something Sess mentioned. I think you like the role of Harry Kane, because without him, this goal wouldn't happen.
Yeah, because here, normally, when the striker gets the ball, here we will see. Just here, normally, they would hold it, they would play it back, but first touch, straight into the path of Eriksen is fantastic. Without that little touch, there is no goal. And obviously, after this today, they do amazing.
This puts Eriksen, I think, second behind Ozil for assists now. I think he's another who's had a fantastic season, maybe goes under the radar. And can I just take this back? Because I've talked about stars for Spurs, and maybe the biggest star they've had is Glenn Hoddle. And I think of some of the goals Glenn Hoddle scored when he cuts across the ball on that volley. And that's probably the highest praise I can give Dele Alli. That's Hoddle-esque. Cutting across, I mean, what a finish that is.
Technique is fantastic. His body position is... he's great. It's not easy, this kind of balls, when they come like that. And the way he took it is really, really good.
Makes it look easy, doesn't it?
Yeah, but it's not.
What did you make of his overall performance, Dele Alli, tonight?
Yeah, very complete player. He's all over the place. I mean, I love the way they exchange positions. Sometimes he plays on the right, sometimes on the left. And he combines very, very well with Harry Kane. So they make a very good partnership.
The position he's playing in now is the number 10 role. If you actually remember, probably 4 or 5 months ago, he was actually playing central midfield. Mm. And I spoke about him at the time, saying he looked more suited, especially as a young player, because there's more responsibility maybe defensively in central midfield. And he seems so much freer in that position, you know, to get forward, get goals. We were speaking about that at the start of the show, especially as a young player, Sesh. I think something you did at Arsenal as well. Do you think it suits him?
Yeah, 100%. I think to have freedom, especially at that age, that they can, you know, not make you do, let's call it the dirty stuff that Dembele and Dier have to do. He has this freedom, he can play, he can enjoy, and you can see that he has also good awareness behind the goal, playing little flicks and good passes, so really good performance from him.
And he's doing it under pressure as well, with the title race reaching its conclusion. 4 to go for each. The gap is 5. Next up, Super Sunday, it's Swansea at home for Leicester without Jamie Vardy, of course. Then we see Spurs against West Brom on Monday Night Football. And what would be going through the players' minds at the moment? When you're in this situation, Cesc, are you looking at those fixtures? Are you looking at your opponent's fixtures and speculating what happened?
Yeah, 100%. You look at what's going on, what's happening. The pressure, you know, gets higher and higher. But, you know, you have to keep calm. Rest well, eat well, and just focus on having good training, prepare well for the next match.
And you've got them both. You're going to play them both at Stamford Bridge.
Yeah.
You're going to play your part in this title race.
We have a lot to say still in the title race, so we'll try and win all of our games, remaining games, and see what's happening. But obviously, whoever comes to the Bridge from now till the end of the season, we will try and beat them.
Yeah, is that something you feel strongly? You feel a responsibility still to give it everything, even though in a Chelsea side,
yeah, 100%.
Not a whole lot to play for.
Not only because of that, because we're professionals, we are hurt, for how the season has gone. We have pride, and you know, we want to give the supporters the best as we can. We haven't done it all season, so they deserve at least to finish as well as we can.
It's game on, isn't it, Jamie?
It is. I think this Swansea game, obviously every game's huge, this Swansea game now on the back of what Spurs have done tonight, I think Leicester have got to come back with a statement, especially without Jamie Vardy, and show, listen, it's not a one-man band type of thing. And if they drop points in that game and Spurs win next Monday, I think you could really see the sort of the wobbles set in, I think, with Leicester. I think this Swansea game is vital for them. On the back of yesterday, Spurs winning today, I think they've got to come out with a message, I think, next week. And I think if they drop points then, and you think of their last three games, I've always spoke about the last three games, especially those two away games they've got, Leicester, and I've always felt they may not actually need those games. They may have had it wrapped up. If that's not wrapped up before those three games, Leicester may have a problem.
Spurs were brilliant tonight, rounding off the Premier League weekend. Emphatic win at the Britannia Stadium. Elsewhere at the weekend, a draw at Goodison. United beating Aston Villa, who are down, more on that in a moment. Big, big weekend for the North East. Sunderland winning at Norwich. Newcastle beating Swansea, scoring three as well. Watford won at West Brom. Manchester City at Stamford Bridge. Then on Sunday, Liverpool have had a great week. Leicester and the drama at the King Power finished 2-2. Arsenal 1-1 against Crystal Palace. And Spurs tonight narrowing the gap to 5. At the bottom of the Premier League table, Villa down. And then Newcastle, Sunderland and Norwich separated by only 3 points. Newcastle play live tomorrow night. They play three times before Norwich play again. Then in the top half, Manchester United, 4 points off Arsenal in fourth. They're level on points with Manchester City. It's game on, really, in a race for the top four. And then Spurs, 68, Leicester, 73. The gap, 5. Right, to Old Trafford, Jamie, where Manchester United still in the mix for that top four.
They are, and it's that man Rashford again. He's been actually a revelation. I think he's probably lifted sort of the spirits of everyone at Manchester United. And I think what was interesting was the fact that this man taking the free kick, Wayne Rooney was back involved, but it didn't mean Rashford went out fatigued. He stayed in. Rooney played off the front, because I think Louis van Gaal said he'd like to give Rashford a rest, but he's playing that well, he can't. But what's brilliant about this is, and I just want to highlight the goal scorer now, is Rashford. Since he's come into the team, we've seen goals, but it's been raw pace, running in behind people, causing problems. Look at the intelligence of his runs now. And, you know, for such a young player, the understanding of where to be. And you see that initial run there. Sorry, he's just run away with me there. You see the first run now, forward, checks back, checks again, and you see the finish. But you see how far off the defender is, Kieran Clark. I mean, he's just got him in knots. He's all over the place. And I'm not trying to be too critical of him, because I can understand. I've been in that position myself, and the movement was absolutely fantastic. And we shouldn't forget the finish. To wrap your foot round that and put that in the opposite corner, he's probably 4 or 5 yards past the near post, and he then reverses it back into the far post. And he, I think, is certainly, we've seen one tonight in Dele Alli, he's certainly another one for the future. It's probably too early for him to be going in the summer. I think we know Dele Alli will probably be in the team, but certainly in the World Cup in 2 years' time, if he continues the way he's going, I think he's in it, he's a shoo-in.
And is Rashford another one who plays with no fear at the moment? A youngster, you referred to the same thing with Dele Alli.
Yeah, he's on fire at the moment. I really like the kid. I've watched him play a few times now since he came through, and you know, I really like his intelligence, you know, his desire to be on the box, his movement, as we've seen how he lost his defender. And yeah, his intelligence around the box and also in his open play, he's been very, very good.
And Manchester United, for all the talk of the way they're playing, etc.,
they just keep churning out results to stay in the mix.
Yeah, they have the philosophy that Van Gaal wants to play, and is playing from the back. A little bit like what we were saying from Spurs, to make the pitch big. They like to have good competitions. They don't score as many goals as the way, you know, for the way they play and positive play, but they like to have possession of the ball. And from there, try to create chances. But, you know, the 1-0, 1-0 there, 1-0 there, FA Cup semi-final now, so they are doing well.
Cesc Old's team should probably be out of sight, but they're not.
They're not, and another disappointing result for them. It's gone from being sort of title challenges maybe a month ago to now actually worrying about top four, and that's where the criticism comes for Arsene Wenger and this Arsenal team. But, I mean, we've obviously got Cesc on. He's played for Arsenal, he's played for Barcelona. This is, and at times we've criticised Arsenal for saying that the Barcelona light, which I think is fair enough, but this is like a Barcelona goal. And the reason I say that is that they lose the ball and see how many players then they have actually around that ball to win it back. And then the ability from Danny Welbeck here to find that pass from the run from Sanchez. That the type of pass, Cesc?
Oh, yeah.
It's normally your type, isn't it?
Did you know he had that in the locker, Welbeck?
I like that kind of pass, but no, I didn't know, actually. He surprised me because I was watching it live, but he does very, very well. And the finish as well is very good.
Listen, you know Sanchez has been a star for Arsenal in the two or three years he's been there. You know, he was another that didn't quite work out for him at Barcelona. Was there a reason for that? Is he more suited to the Premier League?
Well, there was many reasons, same as me, to be honest. But I think he fits perfectly well into the Premier League. I mean, the way he carries the ball, he's so hungry. He's a goal scorer as well. He's a leader and technically gifted. You know, he gives always his all. He's very honest. He's very humble. You know, he will always give 100%. He can have better days, maybe worse days, but you know, he's a guy that you can always count on him.
Arsenal didn't put it to bed from there. We're made to pay, Jamie.
No, they were, and it probably sums Arsenal up. They get one goal, they don't go and kill the game. And I just want to look at this situation here now in terms of the the centre-back, Gabriel. He's been there, I think, this season now. I still don't think he's done quite enough to really convince. He's the centre-back Arsenal need to take them forward. He still looks like a squad player to me, if I'm being totally honest. And it's still an area I think they need to rectify in the summer. And this, Balassi, you should keep him on his left foot, but this is reminiscent, I think, of one of the early games of the season of West Ham. I think the Payet goal at that near post for Petr Cech, he's obviously expecting it to go the other side and maybe gets his feet wrong and he probably should do a little bit better. But as I said, it was reminiscent of that one early on against West Ham.
And from there, it could actually have got worse for Arsenal. They could have lost the game.
Well, they could have done, but you can understand they were going for the game. They knew they needed to sort of get 3 points, the position that they're in. But this is always the problem with Crystal Palace. We know how good they are on the counter-attack with Balassi and Zaha here. Again, I think it probably sums Arsenal up. Not aggressive enough in defence. Koscielny's got to deal with that better. And Zaha has probably got to do better and cross that ball in. But I think for Alan Pardew, I think they were safe with the win they got against Norwich. I think that just completely puts it to bed. And what they can do now is completely focus on that Cup semi-final, because no matter how... I wouldn't say bad, because they had a great start, Crystal Palace. But since the turn of the year, it's gone the other way. But if they could get to an FA Cup final, potentially win it, I mean, what an unbelievable story, the job Alan Pardew's done and for that team. And don't think Alan Pardew's been in a final, I think, against Manchester United. We say it saved Alex Ferguson's job in 1990. It could also do the same for Louis van Gaal. Who knows if that's going to be the final. But what a story that would be for, you know, the manager and Palace.
And they deserve enormous credit, Cesc. And they're a team, Crystal Palace. You know all about their quality, particularly on the road.
Yeah, we played them already twice this season and they beat us at the Bridge, 1-2. It's true that in the away game we played very, very well, one of the best performances of the season, so we didn't really give them any chance. But they are a team that, especially in the counter-attack, they will always cause you problems.
What do you make of Arsenal then? Because the danger is now yet another season is just petering out.
Well, to be honest, up till the 81st minute, until Crystal Palace scored, I still thought they were in the title race to actually go for it. Why not? But obviously now it's over. But I believe, call me optimistic, whatever. But I believe that they still had a chance if they won yesterday.
All of a sudden, though, with Manchester United 4 points behind, they're going to have to be a bit careful, aren't they? Because when you look at the fixtures they've got left, with a game against Manchester City looming at the Etihad, they're going to have to be careful here, Cesc, aren't they?
Yeah, well, Arsenal normally, they always end up playing very well and they finish the season very, very strong physically. So I have no doubt that they will be there if they play well.
So that is very much still alive, that race for the top four. Arsenal 4 clear of Manchester United, level on points with Manchester City as things stand. Right, Cesc, we've been inundated with questions for you. Here's the first one. Who did you idolise as a child? Who was your favourite player?
I used to be a Barcelona fan since very, very little, so it was always Romario, Laudrup. I used to love the way Laudrup play Guardiola, Koeman when he scored the goal of the first Champions League. So I used to like Figo a lot until. But it's got to be a Barcelona player.
So a Barcelona player for you, Kevin Sheedy for you, Jamie.
Yeah, why not? Just putting words in my mouth.
Right, next question, Cesc. Best player you've played with, you're not allowed to say Lionel Messi.
Why not?
Because the question is, apart from Lionel Messi, because that would have been the answer, I presume.
Oh, that's difficult. I've been so lucky in my career to play with the very, very best. Thierry Henry, Iniesta, Chavis, Torres, Villas.
That's
so difficult.
It's a good list.
So difficult for me to say one. I'll go for Thierry Henry. When I was there, my early years at Arsenal, he was at his very, very best. You know, you played against him. He was a beast, and fantastic. I learned so much from him.
Now then, it's getting serious for Barcelona right now, Cesc. How do you think they will react to their recent losses? And do you think they can still win the league?
I think they will win the league. They have the easiest run. There's a few tough games for Real Madrid and Atletico on Wednesday. I still believe they will win the double. It's not easy, as we've seen football. I thought they would win the triple this year again. Not easy, because football is never easy, but comfortably. And football surprises you once again. So I believe they will win the double, but they cannot allow any more mistakes.
Same question to you.
I mean, he knows it better. I really looked at the fixture. I mean, I couldn't believe yesterday's result. I thought he'd get back on track against Valencia. But I think what's interesting, and maybe something to ask you, Cesc, as well, when teams have been on an unbelievable run like Barcelona have so long unbeaten, mm-hmm. I think the record, once they lose one, remember when you were at Arsenal, you had the 49 games or 50 games. Yep. And then you lost at Manchester United. Yep. It wasn't just the one loss and then they get back on track. It feels like it takes a long time.
Yeah.
Maybe that's something similar, do you think, about
Barcelona
now?
It's like a mental block, or you're so used to winning that all of a sudden you don't really know how to deal with the lose.
You forget how to lose.
Yeah, but basically that's what happened to them, because they as you said, the run was like 39 games, basically winning every game. So, yeah, they've got a bit of a bad run, but with the players they have, it's so difficult for me to believe that they don't win anything this year.
It's an interesting question for you, Cesc. After experience in both Spanish and English football, what would you say is the biggest difference between the two?
I think La Liga is more tactical. I think there is maybe not so much space between the lines. The teams are better disciplined than England. In England, it's more of an aggressive league, more up and down physically. You have to be on top of your game all the time. I still believe the best players in the world are in Spain. That's why we see maybe the talent, the real talent there, when we see the Neymars, the Suarez, the Ronaldos, James, Messi's, Iniesta's. But if I have to choose a game to normally watch, apart from Barcelona, Real Madrid, I will always watch the Premier League. It's more entertaining, it's more enthusiastic, it's more real, in my opinion.
You know, this, in terms of the difference between the leagues, you know, in terms of what we looked at on, at the top of the show, in terms of Jamie Vardy, now, whenever we get one of those incidents, it's big news in England, it's a dive, and the culture in England is, you know, we don't like to see that. In Spain, would that be on the front pages of the press if Messi or Ronaldo or Suarez sort of won a penalty?
It would have to be something really big for it to be big news or to call the guy a cheater or whatever. Because in Spain, if let's say the Vardy action happens in Spain, we will say that the striker is trying to be smart, he's trying to win a penalty or something for his team who is leading the Premier League and trying to keep being on top.
So the culture in Spain, I mean, I actually think that the Vardy one was a big dive, but I understand what you're saying in terms of we've had these discussions with Luis Suarez on times on the show. So in Spain, would the criticism be more for the defender for being stupid, for giving Suarez or Messi or Ronaldo the chance?
The chance, yeah. We would be saying that the striker is trying to be smart and trying to fool the defender for him to touch him a little bit and go down and create a problem to the referee. But I'm not saying, you know, that in Spain we are trying to cheat or the players are trying to do something that is not correct. But it's been like a different story when it happens to Spain. It will never make front covers or stuff like that.
So to being in England, do you think we overreact on situations like that, or do you think we're right to sort of view situations like that?
There is a bit of everything. In my opinion, something like the Vardy reaction, it is a little bit overrated in terms of the day after, how much is talked about instead of the actual sometimes football or 1-2 or another action that happened in the game. But I understand the point as well, that there is many teams trying to play for the title. Well, in this case, only two, but it's very important that, you know, the game keeps as clean as it can.
Next question for you, Seth. Let's separate these two. They want to know your favourite assist and goal. Let's go with your favourite assist first.
I would say my favourite assist is the World Cup winning goal.
That's fair enough, I would say.
Yeah.
That's pretty cool.
It's the most important, for sure. I don't know if it's the most beautiful, but definitely the most important.
What an occasion that was.
Yeah, it was the best moment of my life after the birth of my two little girls.
Fantastic. And what about your favourite goal that you've scored?
Well, I would have to go for the goal I scored for Arsenal against Spurs, actually, straight after kickoff. I still don't know how it happened.
Well, talk us through it then.
But Van Persie just scored the 1-0, and they just lost a stupid ball here in midfield. And I don't know why. I felt strong in that moment, and I just tried to have a little run with the ball, and it paid off. It was a great goal.
Did you say earlier you weren't quick?
Those days.
Is it because of the goal, the actual goal, is it because of who you scored it against?
Both. For the moment, we just scored the 1-0, you know how London derbies are, and the way it happened straight away after the first goal, the fans were already celebrating the first goal, and now all of a sudden they are celebrating the second, 10 seconds later. It was a fascinating moment.
Terrific. Now then, ask for your player of the season. Now, before you reveal your player of the season, we'll come to that. Tell us your team of the season, which people are talking about at the moment, the PFA player and the PFA team of the season. Here we go. This is your team, and talk us through why you have gone for these guys. For starters, De Gea in goal. Was that a simple selection?
Well, not simple, because I think Michael has done brilliantly. And he deserves probably to be there as well. But De Gea saved so many points at the end of the season for Man United. I don't know, God knows how many, but I'm sure there's a lot.
Trying to give him some confidence for the summer?
Well, hopefully. Hopefully he's watching and can get some.
Tell you what, there's some attacking talent in the side. The back four, the fullbacks has got a lot of conjecture going in the team. Was that your hardest selection when you look at that?
I think so, because basically I had everything clear through the side, but the fullbacks were the most difficult. Bellerin, I like the way he plays. He's very fast. He, you know, when players take him on, you know, he's fast to recover. You know, he's confident with the ball. He moves forward. Maybe you know, even creating chances sometimes for Arsenal, so very good.
You're not going to be popular in the Chelsea dressing room tomorrow, are you?
Why?
You can't pick from your own team, so.
I can.
He can, he's on Monday Night Football, he'll do what he wants. He'll cut winner.
Listen, we have to be honest, none of us deserves to be there, so I'm sure they will not be.
Who's been
upset.
The best player for Chelsea this season?
I believe Willian has been the most consistent. Zuma has had a good season until, unfortunately, he was injured. But I believe Willian has been top form whole season.
So from that team, who was the standout? Who was the star? Who was the player of the season?
I'd have to go for Magres, in my opinion, because he made things happen for Leicester through the whole season. And can speak about Vardy and Kane and so many players, but for Leicester, what they're doing, the way they are doing it, it has to be a talented player like him to for player
a
of
flair
the season.
Player.
Yeah, for sure. In my team, always.
Which leads me nicely to this one. Do you think the man he just chosen there, Mahrez, could cut it at the top Spanish side of Real Madrid, Barcelona?
Why not? Let him enjoy first this season. Let's see if he can get a Premier League medal, and then we can talk about it. But he has the talent, he's young, he's straightforward, he works hard. I believe he can be in a top club soon.
A great story, as we saw on Super Sunday yesterday as well. Now then, give us some hope here, Cesc. Are you excited for the upcoming Euros, and how challenging do you see England as opposition given this season's European form, bearing in mind tonight? Should we be excited?
Yes, of course you have to be excited. I mean,
you don't sound excited.
No, with England, I always hear the same thing. That's the problem, and we always expect big things.
Do we get
England.
Too excited over here about our team?
Maybe,
our
I don't know, but the excitement, the players will bring you the excitement. If they're starting well, if they give you the confidence to be excited by playing well and by giving good performances, then I agree that you could be. But they are a very young team. They look good. I watched the game against Germany. They were excellent in the second half, so why not?
You know, you've played in England for a long time, your situation at Arsenal and Chelsea. What is it about the England team or in tournaments that you look at from obviously inside the Spanish camp and think about the England team, where they're going wrong or what they lack?
Well, to be honest, I don't know, I was talking about it the other day as well. I think it happens a little bit what used to happen to Spain before we won our first European Championship in 2008. Mentally, we are already thinking we will lose instead of believing we can win. You know what I mean? The history is too much maybe on our shoulders until one day, you don't know why. For example, in Spain, I remember quarterfinals were like the limit. We're always getting out quarterfinal until that day on the penalties against Italy, we won and it was like freedom, like a liberation for all of us. And we ended up playing a fantastic semi-final against Russia and winning against Germany in the final.
You're free now. I hope you've enjoyed your Monday Night Football. We really enjoyed having you on the show. Thank you very much.
It was
indeed.
A pleasure. Thank you very much.
Lots more live football to come on Sky Sports this week. Tomorrow, St James's Park. Huge night for Newcastle in their battle to avoid the drop. Then it's the Merseyside derby on Wednesday live. Arsenal West Brom on Thursday, all on Sky Sports 1. Well, tonight on Monday Night Football, Spurs took the chance to close the gap and they made a huge statement in the title race.
To right the unrightable wrong, to be better far than you are, to try when your arms are too weary, to reach the unreachable star, and the world will be better for this, that one man scorned and covered with scars, still strove with his last ounce of courage to reach the unreachable star.
Enjoy Sky Sports Live. on all screens, on the go, and the best bits on demand.